So what are the roles of cooperative and community organizations? Cooperatives and community organizations play a crucial role in rural supply chain, especially in developing regions where they help strengthen local economies, improve access to market, and enhance the overall resilience of rural communities. We already saw that cooperatives and community organizations, which have some aspects in common, they give you collective bargaining power, both for selling and for buying. So this helps them improve their access to the market, also because, you know, they can organize logistics, etc., for the cooperative or the community as a whole. They are in a better negotiation power, and thus they can fetch a much better value for their produce. So it basically enhances the overall resilience of the community. So these roles can be understood in several key areas. The following are some of them: improving market access. So we saw that because the cooperative or community, they can look beyond the immediate urban area. That means many a times it so happens that the rural areas have access only to the urban area they are nearest to. But when you are having a cooperative, then the resources, because of the members having better access to the markets, etc., you have a better market access. Enhancing the bargaining power, which we already saw. Providing technical assistance and training, because they have access to technical resources who can come and train the people and provide technical inputs on better quality of seeds, better techniques, getting better yield for their produce. Facilitating access to credit and financing. So even individually, they don't have much of a negotiation power, but as a cooperative or as a community, they have better access to credit and financing from financial institutions. Strengthening local infrastructure. So while they are having various benefits, they many cases also put up local infrastructure, like in terms of putting up a warehouse or, let's say, a processing plant, where they can convert the grains into value-added products. Like, we talked about paddy being converted into polished rice, etc. So the cooperative can invest in this kind of infrastructure. Promoting sustainable practices. So educating the people on sustainable practices, use of pesticides, insecticides, organic farming, etc. So they can also promote this mainly through education. Risk mitigation and collective resilience. So even educating the people on various risk to, let's say pest infestation or insect infestation, and how this can be mitigated. Collective resilience, guarding against even natural calamities, etc. Advocacy and policy influence. So a cooperative or a community can also make a representation to the government or the local bodies. Advocacy is basically trying to put forth your point and get a policy change in favor of the community or the cooperative. Creating social and economic capital. So naturally, this is going to create a significant, upgrading of the social and economic standing, for the members, which is the social and economic capital. And value addition, adding value to raw products. We already saw that, because even any forward integration or value addition can be planned by the cooperative for benefit of the total this thing. So many places, you find that individual farmers, etc., cannot afford certain equipment like tractors or harvester, etc. So the cooperative will own this kind of equipment and they will lend it out for a nominal fee to the members as and when they require it. So in this way, they are benefited with the latest of technology, etc. Even technical inputs like drip irrigation, etc., is provided by cooperatives and community organizations. Partnership and collaboration strategies. So developing effective partnerships and collaboration strategies in rural supply chain is crucial for enhancing efficiency, sustainability, and overall impact. So here are some of the key approaches or methods used. So first one is stakeholder mapping. You identify the key players. You understand the role of each of the key players. Building trust and relationship, regular communication, and building transparency so that the members, they know what is happening and there is no doubt regarding fairness of the transactions. Joint ventures and collaborations. So shared resources, we talked about the shared resources in terms of equipment which are required for agricultural things, which is one example of shared resources. Collective marketing, where the cooperative actually finds the best market for their produce and the best price at which they can sell it. So instead of selling it to a middleman who will try to buy it at the lowest price, in collective marketing, the farmers are able to fetch a much better price by investing in logistics, etc., but giving it directly to the consumers or to, let's say, large stores or chains. Capacity building. So we talked about training programs, technology transfer. So, training the farmers into new techniques, use of materials, insecticide, pesticide, even new technique like organic farming and materials which can be used in organic farming. Technology transfer. So we talked about drip irrigation, use of drone technology to actually monitor the yield that they are going to get. There was a company which used to use infrared satellite photography to actually estimate the yield of the crop. And they used to negotiate or rather design their strategy for purchase of cash crops based on the findings that they used to have. So technology even can be used by the farmers in these kind of ways. Leveraging technology, digital platforms, and data sharing. So digital platforms we saw both for marketing as well as for services, supply chain services, etc., and data sharing. Local resource utilization. So community engagement and priority to local sourcing, where instead of utilizing resources from other areas, you give a priority to the local sourcing to benefit the local community or the local organizations. Sustainability practice, so eco-friendly initiatives, things like not burning the stubble and, instead using technology to use the stubble as a fertilizer also. And certification programs, so even for organic farming, even, for example, if you're farming cotton and you're making organic cotton, there is a certification program where it can fetch you a better price because organic cotton sells at a premium. So these are the sustainable practices which can be resorted to. Policy advocacy. So we talked about advocacy basically trying to get the government policies or local body policies in favor of the organization or the cooperative or the community. So collaborate with NGOs, because many times the non-government organizations can help you understand your problems and in the advocacy movement. Engagement with the government. So this can be either directly by the cooperative or the community, or with the help of an NGO. Feedback mechanisms, continuous improvement. So their techniques, tools which are being used, this can be continuously improved upon through partnership and collaboration, and adaptability to adapt to the new technologies, new environment, new materials which are available, etc. Risk sharing, shared investments, and contingency planning. So again, this with the help of collaboration. By implementing these strategies, rural supply chain can become more resilient, efficient, and inclusive, ultimately benefiting all these stakeholders involved. So coming to collaborative projects. Collaborative projects in rural supply chains can significantly enhance the efficiency, sustainability, and community engagement. So the types of collaborative projects are cooperative farming initiatives, community-supported agriculture, joint marketing and branding, and shared logistics and distribution. So in fact, cooperatives can have all these advantages. Cooperative farming is slightly different from the individuals, farmers who pull their products through a cooperative for marketing purpose. In cooperative farming, you are part of the cooperative and you are farming as per the directive of the cooperative. Community supported agriculture, something similar with minor differences. Joint marketing and branding. So this we already talked about, that as a cooperative, you can market your product not as individual farmers, but as the produce from the cooperative. And shared logistics and distribution. So here you can organize the logistics and the distribution for the entire cooperative as a whole, and which will benefit both in terms of cost and market reach for all the members. Research and development projects. So even any advancements in technology or new developments, this can be accessed by the cooperative, with the support from research organizations, etc. The next step would be training and capacity building program. So training in new techniques, training in techniques for better yield, and capacity building. So basically, how to get a better yield from, a piece of land. Sustainable practice initiatives. So we saw how we can, make the produce with sustainable practice, which means having minimum impact on the environment. Local infrastructure development. We also saw how cooperatives, etc., can, and with collaboration of NGOs, etc., build local infrastructure which will help them add value to their produce. And lastly, crisis management and resilience building. So we saw that how they can mitigate the risks, and even crisis management, facing any crisis, maybe because of natural disasters, or it could be natural occurrences, etc. And the business can become more resilient also through insurance, etc. So what are the approaches to successful collaborative projects? So the following are some of the approaches that may be used for collaborative projects. So define clear objective. And as you can see, in any area of the management, you can achieve your objectives if you have a clear objective. It's necessary that you have a clarity on what you're trying to achieve. So this is the first step. Cultivate trust and relationship. So for a sustainable collaboration, trust and relationship are very important. If you have a cooperative where the members don't trust the managing committee or the people who are at the helm of affairs, it can never work. So for a collaboration, building the trust and the relationship is important. Involve all relevant stakeholders. Again, you cannot have a collaboration where all the stakeholders do not buy into the concept or do not buy into the idea. So all stakeholders have to be taken on board. Establish governance framework. So even when you have, let's say, a cooperative or a community or any other form of a collaboration, the governance framework, who will be responsible for what and how will you govern, the limit of authority, etc., they have to be clearly defined. The governance has to be clearly laid down. And lastly, utilize the technology. One has to make the best use of technology. Conduct needs assessment. So what the collaboration requires, what is the outcome which is desired, this needs to be assessed. Secure funding and resources. So for any initiative as part of the collaboration, you require certain resources, certain funding. Funding is more finance. Resources could be in terms of technical inputs or even in terms of availability of certain technology, etc. So you need to secure this. Implement monitoring and evaluation. The question is, whatever collaboration you're doing and whatever efforts or initiatives you're taking, is that really yielding results? And how would you know that unless you measure it? And how do you measure it? You need to continuously monitor some of the key performance indicators and evaluate them to really see whether the collaboration is going in the right direction and whether it is helping the members. Acknowledge achievements. So whatever achievements that you are achieving, you need to acknowledge these, you need to share these so that everyone is on the same page and people acknowledge that they are getting benefited from the collaboration. Encourage knowledge sharing. So local partnerships and alliances. Local partnerships and alliances are critical in enhancing the effectiveness of rural supply chains. They foster collaboration, resource sharing, and innovation, leading to improved sustainability and economic growth. It's self-explanatory, so I'm not going to split the hair, okay? So what are the type of local partnership and alliances? So you have the farmers cooperative. We have already talked about it when we talked about cooperatives. Public-private partnership. So here, the private enterprises and the public networks, so they have a partnership for mutual benefit. NGO and community-based organizations. So you also have the non-government organizations, which is basically working for the upliftment of certain communities or certain segments. So this kind of partnership can also help. And these NGOs help in healthcare, in technology, in terms of improving the productivity, adoption of latest technology, etc. Research institutions and university. So in many areas, there are research institutions which are working in the area of agriculture, floriculture, and they can actually help the rural organizations in further enhancing their productivity, in further enhancing the techniques, making their crops more resilient, getting better yields, etc. So they can also participate and carry out research on the local conditions and suggest ways to improve the produce. Local government alliances. So in some cases, the local government bodies can also work closely with the rural organizations, which the government bodies will help them, find the market reach, get them the finances, etc., get them loans, insurance, and thus, benefit them. And supply chain network, so that we have seen in case of both NGOs and, the platform-based networks, which actually provide market access to the rural supply chains. Advantages of local partnership and alliances. So resource optimization. Your resources are used in an optimal manner, and the best possible outcome can be achieved through the local partnerships. Increased market access, I think we have repeated this enough, that the partnerships will offer better access to the market, wider market, which means better price, etc. Risk mitigation, also because of better access to technology, better awareness, better solutions, enhanced knowledge sharing. So we also talked about technical knowledge and knowledge for overcoming the risks, etc. Stronger community ties, naturally. So when you are in a partnership or an alliance, the community grows stronger, and it's a alliance for mutual benefit, because everyone benefits and everyone grows equally. Sustainability and resilience. So even it's easier to adopt sustainable practices, resilient practices to fight against any risks or any calamities, disruptions, etc. Best practices for sustaining local partnership and alliances. So one is ongoing assessment. Continuously, you need to assess the outcome. Are the partnerships and alliances making any difference? Are they really improving the outcome? Promote inclusivity. That means, are you including all the members in the decision making, the participation? Disseminate success narrative. So wherever there is a success, celebrating the success, disseminating the success to bring about a positive feeling among the community or the cooperative or the group. Develop a trusting environment. Most important, we have repeated this enough, that there has to be a trust. If there is no trust, then the movement will fail, the initiative will fail. And create a collaborative network. So have a very positive collaborative network where everyone has a say and everyone can collaborate. So nobody feels left out. Anybody who wants to contribute has a voice. So approaches to building local partnerships and alliances. So establish a shared objective. We already said this, that the objective has to be clear, but it has to be a shared objective. That means an objective which is shared by all the members, not an objective which is meeting only the requirement of a select group. Involve stakeholders from the beginning. We have already discussed this. Promote transparent communication. Most important, transparency and transparent communication. Create formal agreements. So whatever decision is taken within the alliance or partnership has to have a formal agreement. And what it means is, a formal agreement is an irrefutable agreement, not just a verbal agreement. Utilize local expertise. So where possible, use the local experts. Encourage adaptability. So whatever solutions are discussed or whatever solutions are offered, they have to be adaptable. That means they have to be suitable for the local conditions. It should not be that they are actually taken from some other place, but they are not suitable for the region or the rural area that you want to implement them in. Offer training and resources. So this is the continuous upgradation to the members of offering them training and resources. That means it could be in terms of, let's say, the input materials which are required, or the tools which are required, or the software which is required to enhance their effectiveness. Acknowledge achievements. So collaboration and alliances at the local level are essential for improving the efficiency and sustainability of rural supply chains. By utilizing collective resources, expertise, and network, these partnerships can tackle regional issues and expand market opportunities and foster community resilience. So we have already seen this, that what are the advantages? So when you go as an individual, your negotiation power and your influence is limited, but when you go as a cooperative, you go as a community, or you go in a partnership or alliance with an NGO or a government body, etc., then it empowers you much more, and it offers so many advantages. Effective partnerships necessitate transparent communication, which we have already emphasized, common objectives, we have discussed this, and continuous involvement, which ultimately contributes to more robust rural economies and enhanced livelihoods. So this is very easy to understand. I mean, it's common sense. With that, we come to the end of the chapter. Thank you.